I could count them by their dim, shadowed shapes as they moved up the ladder. One. Two. 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 Liam was out first, stretching a hand toward me without a single word of explanation. I let him guide me back down the embankment, into the sunlight and away from the others. I looked over my shoulder, just the once, to see Chubbs crouch down next to Vida. "I know," I heard her say, her voice gravelly. "Don't bother." Liam brought my attention back to him, clearly struggling to tame his own emotions. So they hadn't found him. Now I could try. I knew Jude better than they did. There must have been miles and miles of tunnels under the city, and I'd have an easier time guessing. He turned my hand up and pressed something smooth into it. His eyes were such a fair blue, the irises the color of a new morning sky. When they drifted down, mine followed their path, down his torn shirt, across the stained skin of his wrists, to the bent, twisted remains of a small silver compass. And it was so strange how swift the numbness was to settle, how it smothered every word, every thought, until I forgot I needed to keep breathing. I felt my lips part at the same moment my chest seemed to collapse in on itself. No! My fingers clenched around it, hiding it from sight, denying it was there. The glass face had completely shattered, the red needle was gone, and the force of whatever had crushed it had folded it almost in half. No. It was just that one word, but it was enough to spark a blaze of furious denial. No! We traced the path back, Liam said, holding on to my hand like an anchor. All the way back to the entry point, as far as we could get with the debris. And...
Don't!
I begged. Don't tell me this.
I don't.
His voice choked off.
I don't know what happened. I almost didn't see him at all, but there was... I could see his shoe. We found him, but there wasn't anything we... Chubbs couldn't do anything. He was already gone, and we couldn't get him out. He was at the back. The explosion must have just caught him.
I threw the compass at him. And when that didn't rock him, when that didn't hurt him, I threw my fist after it, pounding against his shoulder. He caught it with his other hand and pinned both of mine to his chest. He's lying. It wasn't possible. I had seen him outside, looking up at the sky. I had heard him, seen him, felt him. I felt myself rock forward, the instant before my knees went. Liam had a good enough grip on me to prevent me pitching forward, but he was exhausted too, and it was amazing he was able to keep us upright at all.
We have to go get him, I said. He can't stay down there. He doesn't like the dark. He can't handle silence. He shouldn't have to be alone.
Ruby, Liam said gently. There's not going to be anything to get, and I think you know that. I recoiled violently, trying to push back against him, against the reality, but that burst of energy was as quick to pass as it had been to come. The tears were hot on my cheeks. They mixed with the dirt, rolling over my lips, dripping off my chin. His hands came up to either side of my face, wiping them away, even as I felt his own drip against my hair.
I can't,
I said.
I can't.
For the first time, I wondered if the reason he hadn't wanted me to go wasn't because he thought they wouldn't find Jude, but because he thought they would.
He was alone, I cried. He didn't have anyone with him. He must have been so scared. I told him we would stay together.
My mind was fixed on Jude's face, the way his ears stuck out from the sides of his head like they'd been mismatched with the rest of his body. What was the last thing I said to him? Stay close? Keep going? And what had he said back? All I could remember was his pale face in the faint light of Cole's yellow glow stick. Follow leader.
He had followed me out, and I had led him to this. I had done this to him.
Lee?
Chubbs called, and again, louder, when neither of us moved. There was a plane flying low overhead, dropping a cloud of something that looked like red gas. Liam raised his arms, covering our heads as the wind blew it toward us, and dropped thousands of fluttering sheets of paper. The kids and agents left the safe cover of the bridge to try to catch one. I snatched a stray sheet as it winged past us. Liam leaned over my shoulder, and I held it up for us to read it together. Centered at the top of the page were the presidential seal, an American flag, and the insignia for the Department of Defense. Following the assassination attempt by the disturbed Psy youth, President Gray was taken to an area hospital where doctors examined him. As he was wearing a Kevlar vest during the attack, he sustained only abdominal bruising and two fractured ribs. Once he was discharged from their care, he released the following statement. Today we received confirmation on two disturbing intelligence reports I had prayed were only hearsay. First, that the Federal Coalition and its supporters are in the pocket of the terrorist organization, the Children's League, and, together, they have established a program that conditions your children, the same ones they have stolen away from the life-saving rehabilitation camps, to be soldiers, to fight and kill with a ferocity that is as inhuman as the abilities they possess. Seeing no other alternative, I immediately launched an airstrike against the seat of these organizations, Los Angeles. These were targeted attacks designed to minimize the damage to civilians. Do not mourn the loss of these reprehensible human beings. There have been times, in the course of human history, that fire has been needed to burn out an insidious infection. These are such times. This is the only way for us to build our nation again. Stronger than before. He forgot the God bless America part, Liam muttered, crumpling the paper. A gunshot fired behind us. I wheeled around, gripping Liam's arm to force him behind me. The agents had formed a circle around something, someone, on the other embankment. The men and women who were armed had their weapons out, aimed.
Are you kidding me?
Liam breathed out behind me. Vida practically screamed in rage, running toward the cluster of agents faster than any of us could catch her. Some of them knew to move out of the way as the blue girl tore through their circle, but only Cole was dumb enough to try to keep her from tearing out Clancy Gray's throat.
How?
She howled as we wedged ourselves through the kids and agents, pushing our way to the front.
How?
Clancy was filthy. Covered in sewage and dust and blood that caked around his swollen nose and eyes. But even from where they'd pushed him onto his hands and knees, he managed to look smug, defiant. For the first time, I noticed the door open behind him. It was directly across from the exit we had taken, on the opposite embankment, hidden in the blind spot in one of the pillars, under a layer of bright graffiti. Clancy let out a low, humorless laugh. Through the drain in the boys' showers. His dark eyes met mine.
After I had to smash my way out of the closet.
Was that how you were planning to get out? I demanded. After you got what you needed from Albin's office? Clancy shrugged, unbothered by the guns pointed in his face.
Didn't know about that exit, did you?
Jesus,
one of the agents said.
This is really the president's kid?
Clancy is alive, I thought, turning into Liam's side, and Jude is not. He tucked his arm around my neck, drawing me in closer. It didn't make sense. It wasn't possible.
He's our ticket out, another said suddenly. We trade him for safe passage. Come on, Stuart, uniforms are swarming the city and we have no transport or way to contact the ranch. What other card do we have to play?
Well, it's not exactly going to be a cakewalk dropping him off with our new neighbors, either. He's an orange. He'll find a way out of it.
Cole glanced at Clancy, ignoring the shocked noises from the others.
So maybe it's better to end him now and send the body back. That'd be quite the message to dear old Dad. We'll find another way out of the city.
There was a murmur of agreement from a few of the others.
You're not getting out of this city, Clancy said. My father's not reactionary. That's not his game. He'll have accounted for every possible exit strategy. Trust me, this has been in the works for months, maybe even years. When he got tired of waiting for an excuse to justify the attack, he created one.
That was almost too ridiculous to believe. You think your father arranged a hit on himself?
It's what I would have done. I'm assuming he survived.
Liam's hold on me tightened until it was almost unbearable. I was shaking again, only this time it was anger blazing through me. Vida and Chubbs both glanced over my way, like they were waiting for me to contradict him. I don't know what terrified me more, that he wasn't wrong, or that this was the old Clancy, the one who knew he could always get his way.
You guys believed me when I said we were starting over, didn't you?
Cole was addressing the kids and agents who were still sitting beneath the bridge, looking torn and petrified.
Well, this is it. We make our own road, but he's not coming with us.
Think of the intel we could get out of him, another agent cried, throwing her hands up in the air. We can sedate him.
Try it, Clancy dared. See how it ends for you.
Yeah, you're right, Cole said, rolling his eyes. We probably should just kill you.
Go ahead, then.
Clancy's teeth were stained with blood as he smiled.
Finish it. I finished what I came to do, and you all...
He turned toward the huddled masses of kids around him, his eyes focusing on Nico. The boy trembled under the intensity of his gaze.
You all can thank me when you can still fight back. I saved us. I saved us. What the hell are you talking about?
Cole was losing his patience. He glanced back at me, but I couldn't look away from Clancy Gray. Not when I felt the first trickle of realization working its way through the grief still clouding my mind. That morning, a whole city had been destroyed, and countless lives with it. There would be so many people who would never return home to their loved ones that night, though those mothers, fathers, daughters, sons, wives, husbands would pass through the afternoon and midnight hours, waiting, hoping. The smoke would seep into the concrete that lined every inch of this place, permanently bruising an already beaten city. In 10 years, 20 years, it would still be too terrible to speak of what happened. A morning that 1,000 other blinding, brilliant mornings would never erase from memory. But somehow, when Clancy spoke again, it was his words that changed everything.
The cure for IAAN, he spat. The one my mother developed. The one Albin kept hidden from you, waiting for the right opportunity to trade it to my father to benefit himself.
Clancy swiped at the blood draining from his nose, laughing in that same humorless way.
The one that would have taken our abilities away and left us helpless. I burned it to ash, and my father buried it without realizing. Now her memory of it is gone, and no one will ever have the research. No one will take away what's ours.
A cure. That single word was chiming like a bell in my ears, ringing again and again. My mind couldn't grasp it, couldn't recognize it. I'd spent so many years conditioning myself to accept that it was impossible, forcing myself to let go of thinking there was a world beyond the camp's electrified fence, that the word no longer existed in my vocabulary. I felt myself start to turn, looking to Jude for his reaction. But Jude wasn't here. I had left him behind. I had let him fall back into the darkness. And it was like seeing Liam and Chubbs climbing out of the tunnel alone all over again. It stole the breath from my chest. One of the younger kids began to cry loudly behind me, asking in a panicked, confused voice,
"What? What is he? What is he talking about?"
Oh, I thought. Oh my God. I had been wrong. So wrong. The First Lady hadn't been studying what caused the disease. She had invested her life in figuring out how to end it. I felt myself step toward him, away from the others. Chubbs was visibly shaking, about to collapse under the weight of what could have been. I caught Liam's eye, but his expression was so open, so raw with pain and longing, that I had to turn away. I knew what he was imagining. In my mind, we were standing on that beach, too, with the crystal clear skies overhead and our beautiful, whole families around us. A cure. Alban had been right when he said Lillian Gray had never been blinded by her love for her son. She knew Clancy would never willingly give up his abilities, and that she'd never find him. No, he needed to come to her, to be lured by the satisfaction of tracking her down after being shut out and denied access to her for so long. He had to be the first one to receive the treatment, because if he heard so much as a whisper of the possibility of it, he'd disappear forever. It made me wonder if that was the reason Alban had sat on the secret for as long as he did. If that was part of the deal. Clancy first. Then he could present it to the world. He could be the nation's hero. I studied Clancy's face as I crouched down to his level. His gaze flickered toward my hand as I slid it into my coat pocket. Behind all of his venomous words was the sting of true betrayal, an ache that ran so deep, his whole body seemed to throb with it. His mother, his own mother, had set up the trap. And he had done what in return? Burned down her lab, attacked her, scrambled her mind, and used the situation at HQ to his advantage to finish what he'd started in Georgia. That's how he knew she sent the results to Alban, I thought, slowly smoothing the papers out over my knee. I had his full attention now. He must have seen it in her mind. Clancy loved the idea his father had inadvertently buried the one thing that could potentially fix his country and salvage his legacy. But the true irony here was that if Clancy hadn't come looking to destroy his mother's research, we never would have found it in time. It would have been left behind, like everything else, as we escaped. He'd come here to close that door, but instead, he had left it wide open for me to walk through. There is a cure. The insanity of that thought made me feel like the hand on Jude's compass spinning and spinning and spinning, searching for its true north. He deserved this. I blinked back the prick of tears and let my anger rise to swallow the anguish for now. I let it propel me forward, because Jude deserved to live to see this moment. He should have been here, now, next to me, suddenly seeing that everything was alive with the possibility of change. I held up the rumpled, smoke-stained papers directly in front of Clancy, high enough for the ring of Psi and agents around us to see them too. And I don't know what was more powerful and gratifying to me, the look of terror that swept across his face, or the exhilaration of knowing I finally had my future back in my own hands. You mean this research? We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of Never Fade by Alexandra Bracken. Copyright 2013 by Alexandra Bracken. Performed by Amy McFadden. Directed by Max Bloomquist. Engineered by Zachary Eidenberger. Performance copyright 2013 by Brilliance Audio. All rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance Audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brillianceaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417. Thank you.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.